Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep T.
And I'm Natalie. And happy Wednesday, guys.
Oh, that feels weird to say.
I know. I know, you know, we typically were on our Monday schedules when Love is Blind was coming out, the latest season. But now we're back to Wednesdays. So you're starting your hump day with us.
Woo! I kind of love a hump day episode.
I do. I love a hump day episode as well.
Yeah, it's almost Friday, you know?
Yeah. Speaking about hump days... Actually, nope. This has nothing to do with hump days. Well, someone DM'd us being like, get better at your transitions. So this is me.
We find any word to transition into it. Speaking of hump days, I've been trying to get humped. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I really was trying to. But how do you guys feel about voice notes?
In what context?
In the context of voice noting a guy before a first date. Or just voice noting in general in that like early stages of dating.
I don't feel comfortable doing that, but that's just me. But you're a little bit more free.
Okay. Well, after doing Love is Blind, you know, I felt like I found the power of voices, you know, like hearing someone's voice before meeting them. Yeah. And so I was like, I'm going to send voice notes to everyone that I have a date set up with.
Okay.
Like I've done this, like a friend set me up on a blind date. Sent a voice note on dating apps. I've sent voice notes and okay. I thought it was like kind of cool. Like I was like, they get to hear what I sound like and I get to hear, you know, what they sound like. Like that's really cool. Anyways.
I like the banter between if you've ever seen on TikToks, they have voice notes going back and forth on Hinge and they're like singing to each other or saying funny shit.
I'm like, I don't do that shit. But I'll do like a nice like, oh, yeah, I really love that. You know, I'll like pull out my corporate voice
I'm done.
I'll be like, yes, I really love that date idea. Like, I'm really excited to meet you. Oh, my God, that's such a good idea.
That's
like,
Valley Girl voice. Corporate?
I thought that was my corporate voice, but okay. That's like the Nat before the crazy comes out. Like, that's my voice before I'm like, I'm going to show you who I really am. It's like, you don't even know.
I think I get that version of you.
You need to capture the guy first then you let the crazy out at month three.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then
have them have get the feels for you first. And then
that's when I start talking about my IBS.
Oh, you wait know, 3 months.
No, it's mostly at like I feel it out at the 1 month mark where I'm like, can I mention that I run to the bathroom sometimes and I have no control over my bowels? Like I'll start like really easing them in and then I start talking about it. Month three, boom. I'm like, I captured you. We're in this together and here we go. But anyways, I sent a guy a voice note recently before our first date and he ghosted me right after I sent it. And I knew it was a ghost because I saw little typing bubbles come up in iMessages.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was definitely typing something and just stopped. And I never heard from him again.
Never? He never? What? Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like a crazy voice note. He was like giving ideas for like first dates and like all this stuff. And I voice noted like, I love this idea. Like I've done this before in these restaurants, blah, blah, blah.
That is so funny.
Never heard from this man. He Casper ghosted me.
I can't get behind the voice note thing like early stages of dating. The only voice notes I'll ever send is between like girlfriends. Because I'm unhinged.
Wait.
What?
So, speaking about voice notes to girlfriends or like close friends, I send voice notes to Deep D a lot.
Oh, all the time.
Like, if we're not on the phone and like she's busy, I'm like, I'm going to send her a long ass voice note. But also, I'll send her voice notes if I really think that she's funny. Like, I'm really laughing at something she says.
You mean all the time?
No. Sometimes when you text me something you think is funny and you get the LOL in all caps, I'm typically literally in my bed, stone faced, just being like, LOL.
Why are you attacking me like this? I thought this was a fun story.
I was just giving some context to what I'm about to say.
The context is not funny. How dare you?
But anyways, she said something really funny the other day. And so I sent her this voice note. And I do this often just so people can know that I'm actually laughing. But here it is.
I'm literally laughing at that.
Oh my God.
That was a dying animal at the end there.
I have not listened back to that voice note. Why does my laugh sound like that?
That just proves that I am so funny that you had to unhinged laugh like that. That just goes
that's
to show
not my real laugh night. Like, that's not my real laugh.
It depends on who we're with. The laugh comes. See, I'm funny. I'm funny, dude. But you only laugh like that when deep tea jokes, you know?
Oh my gosh, I'm so self-conscious.
Stop. You have a cute laugh. I think I laugh at your laugh, so that's funny.
Okay, well, anyways, so let us know. Like, is it okay to send voice notes to guys before a first date or even in the early stages of dating?
I'll answer that no.
I think it's fine. I just don't know why I got ghosted. Maybe he was like, she sounds a little too Valley Girl from me.
No, I was joking when I said that.
If he thought that, then he's not the one for
exactly.
me.
Exactly. Thank you for ghosting me, sir. dude, did you hear that Travis Kelce is it Kelce or Kelce?
Okay, we debated this. Mm-hmm. You told me it was Kelce, but like everyone else in the media pronounces it Kelce.
Yeah.
And so I think he just goes with Kelce. Yeah. But I think you're the one who showed me a clip where he clarifies that it's Kelce.
Yeah. I always don't know which one to pick. But you guys, Travis Kelce said that he watches Love is Blind. Did you see that?
I saw that. That was everywhere in the news. If you don't know who Travis Kelce is, he is Taylor Swift's boyfriend.
Do you live under a rock?
AKA, he also plays for the NFL. But he called Love is Blind the worst trash ever, but also said it was really good. But it broke my heart when he mimicked Chelce being like, you think I'm clingy? I'm clingy.
I know.
He mimicked her on his podcast.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I felt really bad because I was like, oh, can you imagine the fact that Travis Kelce just mimicked you?
I know. But also what an honor. Honestly, what an honor. And also, Chelce has been really like such a good sport about it. She made like a little video about it. And she's like, Taylor and Travis, like basically being like, if you're watching, please stop. And I was like, this is the funniest and most relatable thing ever.
Well, this means that Taylor Swift probably watches Love is Blind.
Dun, dun, dun. There's no way she watched our season. She's not doing that many seasons. Six just really hit home this year.
Six really hit like the pop culture, the wave of reality TV pop culture. But that's so crazy.
No, it's actually
isn't it weird? I know that Kim Kardashian has watched our season and also the other seasons of Love is Blind. Mm-hmm. But it's so weird knowing that someone who is like really, really famous is judging you.
Yeah, this is probably the most famous person right now, especially after winning the Super Bowl. Obviously, Taylor Swift's boyfriend. It's like it's worldwide like popularity.
I wonder who her favorite is from the show, if she did watch.
I'm going to say none.
No, I'm going to say Britney and AD.
What if like Taylor Swift is just like one of those girls who just loves trash, like reality trash, you know, like to get her mind off of life.
I love that. I know. I love that for her. She unwinds. Watching
a little trash,
a little trash TV that is now Love is Blind. Apparently,
what a win for Love is Blind.
No, I know. One thing I also saw that's related to Love is Blind is there's a lot of TikToks, pictures going around of the future cast filming in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Oh yeah, Minnesota.
However, we can confirm that Minnesota is not going to be season 7. So season 7 has already filmed around the same time as season 6. Mm-hmm. So Minnesota might be like season 8 or 9, unless they decide to change things up, like how they did for our season. Yeah. So we filmed at the same time as season 3, Dallas. And we heard that Dallas might have, like they were thinking of coming out with the Dallas season before our season. So we mm-hmm. would have been season 3.
Right. So they kind of, I think they filmed literally 2 weeks after us.
Yeah.
The Dallas season did. So it's probably similar. But yeah, Minnesota. What another cultural, fun little city.
I know. But now no one is safe. Like people know when Love is Blind is filming in their city.
Oh, absolutely. I wonder how they caught on that it's Love is Blind because There's like a lot of reality TV shows out there, but I don't know. Some of these TikTokers are like, oh my God, my ex is on it. So that's why she made that TikTok. But... Yeah.
And people found out that they were also filming in DC. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's just I think it's so easy to see when you see like a group of people on like a bachelor, bachelorette party and a bunch of cameras. I mean, even when we were filming our honeymoon scenes in Mexico, like people knew it was for Love is Blind.
Yeah. And especially when I went to Seattle, somebody where they filmed, I went to one of the locations I didn't even know that was on the show before the season even came out. And one of the service workers, like it was like a bartender, I think, she came up to me and she was like, oh my God, like you're Deep Tea. And like, gave me the entire spiel. She's like, this is where they filmed. And I was like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
So I think it's like, yeah, everyone,
it's gonna be harder for like production to keep it a secret that they're filming in a certain city.
Yeah, it's kind of fun though.
Well, speaking about Love is Blind, we are starting again our Burning Question series, and it's going to be all about Love is Blind and also about Deep Tea and I. Mm-hmm. So we'll be answering your most asked questions. We gather them from our Instagram page at Out of the Pods. So if you don't follow us there already, please do, because you're able to submit your questions for future Burning Question series episodes.
Yeah. I think this is one of my favorite sections or segments. I should say not sections. This is one of my favorites though, because it's like content led by our pod besties. So
yes,
it makes me happy.
We love that we're able to get questions from you guys, and we'll answer them as always as honestly as possible. First question. Well, this actually starts out by saying this isn't a question, but congrats on being number one in TV and film for the last few weeks.
Woo! I'm so proud of us.
Yes. We did not realize when we started this podcast that so many people, hundreds of thousands of you guys, would tune in and listen to us. And we're so proud of this community that we have built. We've talked to so many of you, like through our Instagram page, through social media, through our DMs. And it's like so fun to just like have this community. But thank you so much, because I don't think we talk about the success around this podcast enough, just because, yes, it's really fun and cool, but I don't think it matters that much to Deep Tea and I, even though we're really proud of it. But I think we just really love the fact that we have like a group of men and women out there who can give us advice, listen to the advice we have to give, where we can share our stories as women in our 30s,
yeah,
and the lessons that we've learned, mm-hmm, everything that we've gone through with you, with everyone who listens.
Yeah, that's exactly. And I don't think we'd be as successful if we didn't have the community and our pod besties, obviously. And I think a majority of people who listen to this podcast are women who are kind of like going through life in kind of the same stages of things. And so it's really cool to just like, I don't know, find relatability and, you know, ask for advice from you guys, because obviously like I don't know that much. I'm, you know, I try, but
we're just winging through life with you guys.
Exactly. So thank you. We love you. What's our next question? Okay. Why did you create the podcast?
That's a so great question. It actually first started for both of us because we were reacting to talking about the latest seasons of Love is Blind on our own social media. And then we're like, why not just talk about it on a podcast instead? Because mm-hmm, we have so much to say about it that doesn't fit into like a 15-second, 30-second Instagram story. Yeah. So that's how it started. And then it became like a place where we could just talk about, again, like our lives and like our dating lives, pop culture. And Deep Tea and I obviously watch the seasons of Love is Blind. And so it allows us to kind of like share what we think with all of you guys.
Yeah, I think that was the one. I think we started the podcast mostly to recap Love is Blind, because that's, you know, why the purpose, you know. But then like once we started doing it, we're like, wait, there's much more to us and life than just that too. Although it is one big community that brought us all together. But we just love that you guys have stuck around to listen to, you know, the rest of it, which is mostly about our lives and dating and, I don't know, women empowerment.
Yeah. Next question. What do former and current cast members of Love is Blind think about your podcast?
That's a really good question, actually. And honestly, I think about it from my perspective, right? Like if I was them, what would I think? Like when season one, if somebody from season one had a podcast, like how would I feel about it? And honestly.
Well, they did. There was two cast members who had podcasts talking mm-hmm. about our season.
Yeah, I remember we had the receipts was happening. I don't know. I kind of like was just like, oh, this is really cool. The fact that I'm talking to somebody who was also on Love is Blind, like, and just it was like a really cool experience.
Jessica Baden had a podcast that came out during our season and she recapped it, mm-hmm. which I listened to. And I think Kelly also from season one, including Lauren from season one as well. They talked about the season on their podcasts.
Yeah.
One thing that we can confirm is that former and current cast members of Love is Blind listen to our podcasts, especially the former Love is Blind cast members. And they've been really supportive of it. I think that it probably is a weird feeling for current cast members. You know, I've already had six cast members from this current season let us know that they listen to our podcast.
Yeah, and them also commenting on like our Instagram out of the pods page and stuff like that too. So we know they're listening.
Yeah. So it's tough because we also don't want to have friendships impact how we recap the show, like our friendships with cast members from the Love is Blind franchise. And so that's been really tough because we're just reacting to the edit that Netflix and Kinetic Content put out there of cast members.
Yeah. And also I think former cast members too, they kind of recap on their own platforms, like whether that be through a TikTok or like Instagram stories, things like that. I think what's different is ours is in long form and it's in a podcast form. That's the only difference. But yeah, a lot of former Love is Blind cast members do also speak about the current seasons of Love is Blind. So I don't know. I think it's hopefully I would love to ask them what they think.
Next question. What does the show provide for in terms of dates, the weddings, rings, wedding dresses, etc.? And how much do the participants need to pay for them by themselves?
Oh, everything is actually paid for, except for both Natalie and I, when it came to our wedding dresses, had to pay a little bit out of pocket because personally, for me, my wedding outfit was very expensive and they couldn't cover the cost of that entire thing. So I had to cover some of it on my own. But apart from that and maybe like groceries while we were living together, like I bought some of that stuff personally. But besides that, I think most everything was paid for.
Everything is paid for when it comes to like what is needed for the production, like the wedding, obviously. To Deepti's point, yes, I paid for a portion of my wedding dress, and I think it's because it wasn't part of like the selection of wedding dresses that we could choose from, and I think my wedding dress was a little bit more expensive than what they had initially like provided to us.
Yeah, whatever so they I'd, allocated yeah. financially. But also, I think it's important to note here that like there is things that you have to select from. Like even when it comes to the rings, it's not like you have like a unlimited funds to get whatever you want. They give you like a
like options. So like for the men, when they were picking our engagement rings, I think they had a rank like their top three or five, and there was like 10 options to choose from. Cause I straight up told Shane in the pods, I was like, this is the type of ring I want.
Yeah.
Like when we were getting to the point of like talking about getting engaged, I was like, I would like something that looks like, you know, like is the shape of an emerald, like an emerald cut.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I loved my ring. Too bad it's at the bottom of Lake Michigan.
I still have mine.
Sad. My gosh, I watched a Sex and the City episode recently, and one of the girls was going to change her ring into like earrings or like a pendant. And I thought that was such a good idea. Maybe you should.
I was actually thinking of doing that.
Yeah.
Some people were like, give it back to your fiance. But I was all like, Netflix paid for it.
Yeah. No, it's yours. It's mine. You earned that shit.
Okay. Next question. Oh, yes.
Okay. Next one. How do you know who you're on a pod date with?
Well, production gives you a whole schedule.
What a lovely question to ask you. Because.
Oh, yeah.
No. That's funny.
Well, no, production gives you a schedule like at the beginning of the day. So you know which pod room you're going into. So I think there were 10 pod rooms on our set of Love is Blind. And you are given like, hey, are you going to like pod room 7 with so-and-so?
Ooh,
so that's
back.
How you know. What?
That brought back memories.
I know, that brought back memories. Sometimes there would be like a little mix up, but now looking back, I think it might have been purposeful, a little surprise.
Who production? No way.
No way. next question. How often do people talk about physical looks in the pods?
Oh, I love that you asked me that.
Obviously, wait, why? Because it's shake?
Yeah, I was just joking. But no, I feel like they might not air it, but a lot of people bring up physical appearance. Like, obviously, Shake was very outward with it and said, oh, do you think I could lift you on my shoulders? Obviously asking size, you know, it's kind of like the roundabout way of asking things. Like, even this season with the celebrity thing.
The Megan Fox comment.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure that Jimmy and Chelsea are not the only ones who talked about physical appearance.
No,
like,
yeah,
it happens a lot.
I will say, though, there is, like, kind of this hesitancy to talk about it. So it's asked in very indirect ways, like, who is your celebrity look like? Do you work out often? People ask about height, like, typically to the girls. Mm-hmm. Like, the men will ask the women, you know, like, what's your height? And I don't know why, but I think it gets a feeling of like them trying to imagine who we are. But what's frustrating sometimes is like women will openly, and men as well, will openly talk about their physical appearance as a way to like get the one up.
Yeah. If there's like, especially if there's like competition in the pods and like, or in the lounges, and it's like, you know, two women are after the same man or two men are after the same woman. It's like, how can I insert like a, just a plant the seed in their mind for attractiveness? You know,
well,
and that happened on our season.
Here's a good story. So there is a woman on our season who was straight up telling the men like, oh, you know, I am hot. Like, I would consider myself hot.
Yeah.
And she said it unprompted. Mm-hmm. And so like all the men heard about it, right? Like the man that she told it to, like, told all the other men.
Yes.
And then so it started something where all the guys were like, okay, she's hot. Like, she is hot.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that gave her like a one up compared to like to the other women.
Yeah.
Because like they knew like, okay, like if she says she's hot, she's most likely hot.
Yeah.
Like, cause who calls himself hot if they're not?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, like people were talking about it.
Do you remember on our season when one of the girls also said that she was a bottle girl to the men? And that was hilarious because I remember specifically Shake saying something about that to me. And obviously it like creates an image in your head of what a bottle girl looks like.
And I think it was less about being a bottle girl, but she worked at a restaurant that was known for hiring very beautiful women as bottle girls or bottles in working in bottle service.
Mm-hmm.
And so like she was very beautiful, but she brought that up to kind of like, in my opinion, purposely.
Oh, yeah. That was a, it's, that's what we're
kind of indicate like, hey, I'm really pretty.
Yeah. It's, that's what we're trying to say. It's like, people are very tactful about it because obviously it's called Love is Blind. So don't be obvious. But, okay. Next question. What are the logistics of flying to your honeymoon? Are each couple on a separate flight?
Well, one of our cast members wrote about the logistics on their Instagram stories recently, but what they said was that the women and men fly separately. So the women fly together in a group, the men fly separately in another group, and then we don't see each other until we are filming our first scenes.
Yeah. And guys, we didn't see our fiancés like after reveal. That was the last time we saw them until we were walking up to our hotel room.
Yeah.
Ooh,
and the cameras were on.
And oh my God, did you ever, I blacked out during the reveal completely.
Same.
And I don't even remember what Shake looked like. I literally asked a producer, I was like, is he cute? Like, I don't remember anything. Like, no, it's like a blank image in my head.
Same. I think when those reveal doors opened, you just know you kind of have to pretend like that you're like, yay! But you're,
it's intense.
But actually in the moment you're like, oh my gosh, like what is going on? I was in the same boat as you. Like, I remember like not really remembering Shane's face after my reveal and not knowing, like, I remember everyone's like, describe what your like partner looks like when we were all together at the airport on our way to Mexico. And I remember being like, I can't.
Same. I was like, I have no recollection. I just know I have an outline in my head, but that's about it.
I was like, I could tell you that he was tall and blonde hair and not what I imagined in my head, but here we are. So it's super awkward just like filming in Mexico that first scene together when we're like, you know, like, I don't know, in the hotel room getting situated because you're also so awkward.
Yeah, because we're just now like feeling out each other's energies and stuff, you know, it's like brand new to us. But I mean, of course, I don't remember his face considering I was making out with him a lot of the 20 minutes that we were there. But anyways.
Next question. Are there producer plans on the show? Andrew from season 3 said he was honest with producers that he wasn't going to get engaged on the show. So essentially, he was implying that he was kind of just like picked for the show. Producers knew he wasn't going to get engaged.
I wouldn't say that's a producer plant specifically. I think you want a variety of different people when you're casting, and that's unfortunate. But like in this day and age, obviously, look at season 6. People love drama. So they're going to like pick some people that are going to ruffle some feathers when it comes to a cast and the dynamic of a cast, I think. But I don't think that there's any plants.
No,
like I heard
because people said that about Shayna a lot from our season. They're like, she is a producer plant, like she definitely was seeing someone during filming. And I was like, no, she wasn't a plant, like trust me, she was not a plant. I don't think that producers would hire a producer plant knowing that there are so many internet detectives and sleuths out there that would probably like find it out if they were. So they're not going to get like someone who has like, maybe they would take someone who has acting credits, but isn't trying to, like, they're not going to hire someone just to, like, create drama. But they might cast someone that they know is going to be very messy and is, like, kind of emotional and kind of, like, will put everything out there.
Exactly. And I know a lot of people were saying from this season that Amber and Matthew and actually Jess, too, they were like, oh, like, one of these three are probably a producer plant. And I was like, No.
Especially the way that Matthew has kind of like called out his edit and things like that. If he was a producer plant, a real producer plant would be like, this was my job. Like, hey, I did my job. But
one distinction I wanted to make, though, is I think people get confused with like a producer plant and somebody who can be easily manipulated or does whatever producers say. Those type of people definitely exist. And, you know, that's what creates drama. Okay, next question. Every year, the viewers blame Vanessa and Nick for the questions asked or not asked. To what extent are they in control of how the reunion unfolds?
Zero control, guys.
None.
Zero. There's typically producers in their ear prompting them to ask the next question. They're also reading. You guys can tell from watching the reunion, they're reading from like those teleprompters. So that's why it really sucks when like Vanessa or Nick get backlash about like questions that were asked at the reunion or like if they said something crazy, because typically, not saying they're forced into it, but they're being fed those questions or being prompted to say something.
I do think, though, like, I think Nick and Vanessa do put in their opinions for sure along the way, but there's definitely a whole team that works towards, like, you know, making sure the reunion is running smoothly and the questions are asked.
But I really do like them as hosts. I know that they do get, like, some backlash, but I will say I think that they can be very fair. And I think sometimes when they go hard on someone, it's because they know something that the viewers don't.
Yeah. Can I ask you a burning question of my own?
Sure.
A lot of people are saying how Vanessa and Nick might be a little biased, because usually when you're a host, you're asking questions that
you need to be objective.
Yeah, you need to be objective. And like kind of with Trevor and also Sarianne, they were kind of very much imposing a certain opinion, rightfully so. But like a lot of people are saying that that's like not good as a host. What do you think about that?
The biggest example that I go to is Paul from season 4. Mm-hmm. I think he said something on his Instagram story and Vanessa had to send him flowers where Paul's yes. like, Vanessa went so hard on me for no reason.
Forgot about that.
And I'm not going to lie. I was kind of like surprised by that too, but mm-hmm. I can't tell if it was like pushed by producers or Vanessa knew something that like the viewers didn't. Just like I think about Shake from, you know, our reunion, yeah. like Vanessa knew mm-hmm. things that happened behind the scenes because she had talked to the girls.
Oh yeah.
And so I think that sometimes like she has context or information and she's like reacting to that when she's yeah. asking questions, which I don't know if it's right or wrong. I think it's just like human nature.
Yeah. And also I think like our Love is Blind is so different than any other show because truly Vanessa and Nick are technically kind of like our mom and dad. So, you know, it's they're like reprimanding the children who veer off task, you know, put them back in line, you know. That's funny.
Can you both honestly say that the experience was long enough? Do you think if you had more time in the pods, would it have made a difference on who you said I do to?
Absolutely. 100%. Are you kidding me? Honestly, I think about that often because guys, think about like when you're dating somebody too, in general, the more time you spend with them, obviously the more you get to know about each other. And even like a year or two, sometimes into your relationship, people like can be different, like depending on how they deal with conflict, life, things that happen to you, how like how their resolve is. I don't know. There's just so much to a person yeah. and it's hard to know who someone entirely is in 6 weeks.
In my opinion, I think that anything short of like 6 months is just not long enough.
Yeah.
Like, and that's obviously impossible with this show. But I think regardless of the concept of the pods where you're getting to know someone without the, you know, that layer of physical attraction or really anything else, like how they dress, whatever, it's still just not enough. I feel like yeah. true colors don't come out until like way past mm-hmm. that like 3, 6, 1 year mark. And also everyone puts their best forward most of the time for TV.
Absolutely.
So
yes.
like that's
we
the
did
also,
that too. Yeah. We're so to that too. Like you're not gonna yeah. I think it's also really hard because everyone's on such a different timeline, even in real life. Some people fall in love at first sight.
I don't believe the concept of love at first sight. I feel like love at first sight is just being physically attracted to someone and like your first impression is great. And that's oh. what you think you're falling in love with.
Oh my God. I think completely opposite of you. First of all, I am a hopeless romantic, but also I'm like such a energy driven person. And I think that there are certain people in this world where you lock eyes, you just know like the energy matches and you're like, holy shit, I recognize that soul. And that is like a person I'm supposed to meet. And people fall in love. I truly believe that that
the
exists.
Only people that I'm locking eyes with is some dude doing something sketchy on the subway.
Oh, when you looked at me, I thought you were going to say me. I was like, oh, hi.
No, when you look at me, I look away. I'm like.
No eye contact. That's funny. Okay, our next question. How many clothes do you need to pack when shooting for Love is Blind?
Okay, we've got to stop right here for a second because if you do not have this bag, please go get it. I feel like everyone has the Baze Weekender bag. And if you've been following my travels on social media, you know that I have one too. So yes, I've been influenced by social media. And I totally get why their bags are so popular right now because they make packing and organizing so easy. So the bottom compartment is my favorite part of the Weekender bag. It's where I keep my shoes and my hair dryer and sometimes my toiletries. And there's also a zipper pocket on the back that becomes a trolley sleeve so it fits over your luggage handle. It is by far the best carry-on bag that I've ever had.
I would say I'm not the most organized or efficient packer. Like I am that girly who'll just throw 10 different outfits into my luggage and 5 different shoe options. But their luggage makes it so easy to stay organized because they have thought of all the interior pockets you need. And their luggage has everything you could ever ask for in a piece of luggage, a cushioned handle, built-in weight indicator, washable bags for your dirty clothes.
And the quality of their bags and luggages are just I packed 2 suitcases worth, 2 checked-in luggages worth of clothes.
I remember when we all arrived at the airport and the girls and the guys fly separately, but you would look around the airplane and you could tell who's part of the crew. And it was so funny because all the girls, I felt
part
like,
of the cast, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. All the girls were part of the cast, or you could tell who was part of the cast. And it was funny because all of us had the biggest luggages ever. I overpacked like a crazy person.
So, okay, this is crazy of me and I'm such a dumbass, but
what?
So I packed two suitcases, but one was like half full because I didn't pack for Mexico. So when you're chosen to be the final cast, they give you a packing list. They're like, hey, like pack mm-hmm. for the pod. So like bring casual clothes, but also some nice clothes and like your reveal dress and also pack for Mexico. Or they were mm-hmm. like, I think they didn't even tell us Mexico. They said somewhere hot, like well, for remember? The honeymoon.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
And so I remember like looking at the packing list and we were still like in the middle of the pandemic. And mm-hmm. so it was really hard to like go shopping Ugh. And like shipping times, like if you ordered clothes online would take forever. So I was like, oh my gosh, like I just don't have like the right clothes to bring yeah. to this.
Yeah, that's so funny.
So I packed everything in my closet for like the pods, but I had nothing to wear in Mexico. I had to borrow clothes from Ayana because I remember looking at the packing list and being like, there's no way I'm getting engaged on this show.
That is so funny to me.
Like, and I was like, the chance is so little that I'm not going to stress myself out and I'm not going to pack for the Mexico honeymoon, you know, like piece of the show. Gosh. So literally when I got engaged, I was like, I'm so fucked. And they have production assistants who will
Do things for you and run errands.
Yeah, like run errands for you. And I was like, can you just grab me some like swimsuits from Target?
That is so
I was like, do
funny.
You mind?
I was the complete opposite. I even got packing like cubes, you know, like how you can get the little, and it kept everything so organized. I was like, oh my gosh, like who am I? Never do that. I never do that anymore.
Well, I do that in my everyday life, but the packing cubes did not include Mexico, let me tell you.
That's so funny. Yeah, I packed a lot. I just remember all of us lugging around these giant ass suitcases all the way to Mexico, all the way back. And I was like, why did I do this to myself? They're like giant ass luggages.
But yeah, anyways, that's how much we have to pack. One girl did bring three suitcases. I feel really bad because she got engaged, but then they sent her home afterward. And I was like, can I take that, the whatever you packed from Mexico, please?
Oh my God. Also, remember when we had to pay for our luggage to be overweight? Oh my God. Me and Danielle both had to pay so much money for it to be overweight and all the freaking flights. Ugh. That hurt my soul to this day.
Sorry, oh, I didn't. I kept mine at 50 pounds because I didn't pack for Mexico because I'm a dumbass.
Oh boy.
Well, so all the outfits you saw in Mexico, well, one dress was mine, but the rest were Ayana's. Let me just tell you. Okay, next question. Where do you think the future of Love is Blind is headed? Do you think that they can hold on to the integrity of the show, or is it going to turn into a clout chaser's fast track to 5 minutes of fame?
Wow, what a question to whichever pod bestie sent that.
Yeah, woo, that was a deep one.
I honestly, I think after season one, that was the purest season because that's the only season who had no idea how much the show was going to blow up. They had no idea what was going to come from it. And I think from that, after that season, there's definitely going to be the integrity of the show is going to go downhill.
Yeah, I think you really saw that with season six and in terms of it being called out. I think that there is a difference where people do the show and then they take advantage of the social media fame afterward. I think that there's a difference from that to people who are going into the show wanting to be casted for the show to like with the intention of just trying to make it to the end for screen time mm-hmm. to become an influencer right afterward.
They're seeking it out.
So mm-hmm. I think in that way, the integrity of the show is impacted because now you're getting people who aren't just going in to see like, we'll see what happens or like, maybe I will get engaged and they're still pure in the process. You're now, I think, seeing more people who are like, they see that they can really launch a career off of this show.
Yeah. And you know what? I have a follow-up question for that is, do you think that it's okay for casting to cast people who, for example, Clay, it felt like knew that he probably wasn't going to get married, but he was like, I'm going to just try it out. Like, do you think people like that should be casted or not?
I'm not sure because I think that there's a difference of someone going through casting and they're like, hey, I'm not sure if like I'm ready for this process, but then, you know, they find someone they really connect with and, you know, they're really pleasantly surprised that they actually do want to get married and really spend their life with someone.
Yeah. Best case scenario. That's the best case scenario. But worst case scenario, they ruin the experience for somebody else who they get engaged to, you know, and that kind of sucks.
I don't know. It's really tough. I think that it's tough because there is this balance of like, it's also reality TV and who, and as much as people want to be like, yes, like we want people who like really want to get married. Typically those people are like very just like casting is not going to just like cast people that are just really ready to be married. They're really mature. You know, they're like older and probably won't stir drama. And, you know, like they're going to cast, I don't want to say messier people, but like messier people. I don't have a better word.
Yeah. And season 6 is a perfect example of how messy or drama like gets you ratings and gets you gets you to get Taylor Swift to watch.
You know? So,
yeah,
it's tough to say, but I do think that the integrity of the show being truly about marriage and like love, like that is going away.
Yeah, that bleeds directly into our next question, actually, and which is, if you got casted for Love is Blind today in this climate of the show, would you still do it?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. I think that if I got casted today and I saw the success of the show and saw some of the success of cast members who have been able to monetize off the show, if I got casted, I would go in with a strategy and really try my best to get engaged, even though I wasn't that serious about it, and make it to the end.
Oh my gosh.
Is that terrible to say?
Your answer makes me want to say I will never do it because I don't want that.
I would do it because I know, like, actually, no, I would still do it. I stand by my answer. It's an embarrassing one, and I know it's going to make me look really bad, but I'm just being honest. I think I would do it, but I wouldn't go as with the genuine intentions that I did going into my season, where I was kind of being like, let's see what happens, but I'm going to like literally lead with my heart and just see. I think that I would go in with more of a strategy if I got casted.
Yeah, because you do have to be smarter now.
Yeah,
because
and you see different storylines now and how and like you could get edited.
That's the thing, is how the public is going to perceive you is so big now. And I think when we were going into it, for me, I had no idea how much.
We just saw season 1.
Yeah, I had no idea how much like people's opinions would be in my DMs. You know,
we didn't know the different storylines that could literally play out.
Yeah.
Like, I was nervous. I remember watching season 1 being like, oh my gosh, if I say no at the altar, if I get engaged and I say no and it doesn't work out at the altar, I'm fucked. And that's why I was like, I need to get engaged to someone I really, really want to like see if I could work it with, like, work it out with and really want to be with. But now, I think especially with your storyline, where you can say no for the right reasons as you did, but you could come out with a good edit. Like, you don't need to be married with a good for a good edit anymore. And I think people are seeing that now and like taking advantage of it.
Yeah, I think I think with how the show is going today, I don't think I would do it because honestly, I really did think I was going to find the love of my life on this show.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah,
even
and like
during
filming. I still wish I found the love of my life, but I guess I found you.
I am the love of your life.
Wow.
You're actually
into that narrative.
You're actually my boyfriend or my girlfriend.
You know how they have work boyfriends? You're my work boyfriend.
I'm your work wife.
Yeah. Work. Okay, fine. Wife. I'll make you the wife.
Anyways. Okay. This is an interesting question. We received so many of these. Will you have Shane on the podcast per his podcast request?
Why don't you take this one, Natalie? Will you have Shane on the podcast?
No. I mean, I guess we don't have any questions for him. I don't have any questions for him.
I don't have any questions for him either.
Yeah.
We spoke about this. I was like, couldn't it be so fun if like in the most amazing parallel universe where life is so good, we could have our exes on and be all friends, or we can just talk about what's happened in life, you know? But no, what's the point of that, you know?
Yeah. I like surrounding myself with good energy, and I think that would not be the best energy. But I'm very curious, per his podcast request, I don't ever I don't know why. I've never seen a request come through from him, but I would say the answer is no.
Yeah, no.
Sorry.
Okay, next question. Do you think that being an influencer slash social media personality could be your work for a long time? Do you think you'll return to the corporate world? And are you afraid that your social media persona could prevent you from finding a good job? That's a great question. I think you've talked about this before where you said you wanted to kind of go back into corporate life. Me, on the other hand, not at all. Because I've always like, I've never liked a 9-to-5, like the conventional 9-to-5 thing. I've always known that I wanted to do something differently, but I had to go into corporate. Like, what else was I going to do? You know, I went to school for it.
I most likely will return to corporate probably near the end of this year, early next year. I've been like very honest about that. I feel like that is where I thrive. Less about like corporate, but I think just having a 9-to-5 job where, I'm working. I just liked the work that I did.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is all really cool and fun, and I'll never have this opportunity again to make money off of my social media. However, I think that I really liked working at big companies and having a clear idea of how I could like grow my career. It just fit my personality better. You probably have been able to tell by now, but I'm very type A. Like I am as type A as it comes in terms of my organization, how I like my day to be structured, everything. And I think being an influencer means that you're also your own entrepreneur. And mm-hmm. I think that I always say, I feel like I make a better CMO versus a CEO.
Yeah. No, I think honestly, it's hard because I like having the stability of that biweekly paycheck, and it's really nice, but I just like never thrived in that environment because I'm such a creative. Like
you're
I
like
just,
a very like you go with the flow, help people. Fluid. Yes.
I'm like, the Aquarius in me is a humanitarian. Like I will dedicate my life to making other people happy, and that makes me super happy.
Deep D helps me by making me happy.
Hopefully I can convince you not to go back to corporate. I'm just kidding. I do have to say though, I think one reason why I make sure that my social media is not polished, but like I have a certain
we rarely post anything that is controversial
or like messy. Yeah, because I think it's really important because again, people can Google everything that you do. Like once you put yourself out on the internet in a certain way, that'll live on forever. And I'm try to be as careful as I can about that. And also another thing is like, that's because of future jobs. Like I don't know what the future holds, and who knows if I have to go back to work. Like I'm not good. I want to make sure that when people Google me, nothing like crazy comes up. You know?
And also, I will just say that I think when it comes to the impact of the show on finding a job, I think for us, it's been 2 years since our season came out. So I feel like kind of the attention and impact of our edits from the show isn't there anymore. Yeah. Like a lot of people have forgotten like what exactly happened.
Yeah.
You know, like what our storylines were. And so I think in that way, it hasn't been an impact. I have been interviewing and I've interviewed for jobs just to like, you know, passively see what was out there. And my time on Love is Blind has never had an impact on me receiving job offers in the last few months. So I'll just put it out there. I'm not sure how it looks like if I had gotten a worse edit. However, what I will say is those quote unquote villains from across the Love is Blind seasons, they've all kept their jobs.
Yeah. I think it's like, unless you're blatantly doing something super hurtful or bad, I think you're okay.
But I think to Deep D's point, I think your social media presence matters a lot. And that's also why I'm so careful, like Deep D, in terms of what I post on my social media, because I know that public reputation also follows me onto my job, as for everyone, right? Like if you are working at a corporation and you post something very controversial and it goes viral and like your company finds out, you most likely will be fired. So it's that that carefulness applies to everyone.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Next question. How did your Love is Blind experience change your perspective on dating IRL?
It completely changed it. I think I'm very... guarded now, which is really kind of crazy. At the moment, yes, but also I don't think I'll ever be able to go on a dating app again. And I know you're and on this Hinge
is for,
and stuff.
This
but,
is because of Love is Blind.
Yeah, because people recognize me, especially because my name is so unique too. And I just feel like I now need to meet somebody organically, and that's going to be really tough because I don't leave my couch.
But what if? If someone meets you organically, what if they, you know, like still try to meet you because of the show? Yeah. Like, why does it matter if it's on dating apps or organically?
I don't know. Great question. But I think for me or dating apps in general, I just don't like them. That's why that's why I did Love is Blind in the first place. The only reason I used to go on Hinge or the dating apps is for a confidence boost or like an ego boost. Cause I'm like, oh, thank God I'm like getting people who like me. And that makes me feel better about myself. And then I never really like try that hard. You know, like to meet them. And so I don't know. I think I just, I don't know, dude. I'm still holding out for the hopeless romantic story.
And someone's going to pop up at your doorstep or you're going to meet them at the grocery store and they're going to be like, hey, how's those strawberries?
Exactly.
Oh, you're going to choose a little carton of strawberries?
Carton of strawberries.
No, meet you at checkout.
Honestly, I've told you this before. I really think I'm going to find my person on a Sunday at Whole Foods or Home Depot.
Okay, then how? Because every time we go to Whole Foods together, we look like shit.
Well, that's the problem. I'm gonna have to like look a little cute, you know, and then go grocery shopping and take my time.
No one looks cute when they go grocery shopping. Grocery shopping is when you are like after workout, you are sweaty, your eyeliner is kind of smudged, or you're going Sunday morning, no makeup on, and you're wearing your old ass sweats that you've had for 15 years.
No, I'm talking like you gotta look effortless cute, you know, but you actually put in a lot of effort, but you gotta be effortless cute.
Yeah, effortless cute. Does not exist in my vocabulary, no, nor world.
Well, why do you think I'm single? Obviously, I'm still going to the grocery store like trash.
I'm just kidding. For me, I think it's less about being on the show that's impacted my dating life. I think like what I took from the experience of being in the pods is like now I am very honest with what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think that's what I learned about like being in the pods, where I'm not going based on like physical attraction, because I think that if someone is like really, really good looking, you feel this need to like impress them. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'd not do
that. And so I feel like when that was taken out of dating in the pods, now I'm just like, I'm going to, regardless of how someone looks or how attracted I am to them physically, I'm always just going to be very honest in terms of what I'm looking for and who I am.
Yeah. And I think that's a big thing too, is I never in my life have vocalized exactly what I'm looking for in a person. And now I know that like you have to like really look for those traits and don't waver from the boundaries that you set for yourself. Because I think previous to Love is Blind, I used to always kind of go with the flow and be like, oh, whoever I like, I'm just going to go for it, because I had such low self-esteem. And now I've realized, like, I've really come into my own confidence knowing that like, I'm not going to settle for less than this, because I know I deserve it.
Yeah. I'll straight up ask like, yeah, what do you want? Like, what type of person are you? Like, I'll really just right get into it and also be very honest. Like, I want a long-term relationship. Like, I'm not here to like fuck around. So I think that's what the experience really taught me. And it's okay to ask that. And if someone runs from me asking that, then they weren't looking for the same things that I was.
Oh yeah, I think that's really what Shake taught me, is like, you can't put your worth in someone else. Absolutely not. Like, you have to, yeah, not take it so personally when someone breaks it off with you, because honestly, it comes down to compatibility.
Exactly.
Okay, next question. What's the update on New York Boy?
Ooh, guys, a lot of shit went down after the last episode, providing the update, how New York Boy lied, cheated on me, how I found all that out. It was a doozy, but definitely going to share that for next week. So stay tuned. So how long do you guys plan on doing the podcast? And do you think you would branch out into anything aside from reality TV?
Oh, I think we have branched out and have talked about things that are outside of the reality TV space. I think we'll always come back to it, because that's kind of like how our foundation started. Mm-hmm. And honestly, tell me if I'm wrong here, but I think we're going to do this podcast for as long as we can.
Until I'm so old. Oh. You guys are going to grow old with us. We're going to be 90 and y'all will still be sticking around.
We'll be like pregnant and married on this podcast and do all the things like. Oh,
and even if we aren't pregnant and married, we'll just be grown old together. Yeah. We'll be in our nursing home being like, oh, deep day.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know how to use these new mics.
Oh my gosh, I just like pictured us 50 years from now. Maybe 50 is a little too much. I don't know, maybe. Just you like giving me voice notes with that voice.
Can you, you know what? Like I can't wait to watch back on our podcast videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
And then 30 years from now, it's like all like more futuristic. Like we have like an AI generated background.
We don't even need to
Deep
be here.
Deepti and I will still look the same age because they really like found some sort of like non-aging serum.
Oh my gosh. Please.
It's going to be wild.
Okay. Our last question. Are you happy?
I am very happy.
Oh, sweet.
I wouldn't have said it last year because I think there was so much going on, but I think that I can say now I'm very content and happy with life. I think what's been really helpful is I no longer put like my self-worth in social media.
Mm-hmm.
Like any social media attention I get, whatever, I'm really focused on my friends and family and just trying to be like a better person day to day. And yeah. So I think, I don't know. That's made me really happy. I'm just really happy with like the stage I am in life and the people that I'm surrounded by.
Yeah.
What about you?
I feel like I'm very happy, but I think I can't say that I'm happy all the time because it definitely ebbs and flows for me. But I think overall, like I'm just really happy with the person that I've become and where I'm going in life. And like you said, as long as you're taking the steps to become the best version of you, I think that's all you can do. And yeah, you create your own happiness, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're now out of the pods and happier than ever, kind of.
Oh my gosh, what a tagline.
I know, what a tagline.
Out of the pods and happy as shit. I love that. Well, guys, that was our burning question series. I can't believe it's over already. I'm sad.
I know. If you have any more questions, mm-hmm. please DM us on our Instagram page at Out of the Pods.
And make sure you leave a review and subscribe.
See you next Wednesday.
Bye.